The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Seth Leibson Show. I'm John Hinderacher from Powerline, filling in for Seth today. Seth is in Israel with Dennis Prager, which sounds like a great place to be this time of year. If you have never been to Israel, I highly recommend that you go. I've only been there once. It was about 25 years ago, and I was in Israel in July. It was a wonderful trip, really a life-enhancing trip. But it was really hot. It was hot in the Negev Desert in July. And so I'm a little bit jealous of Seth being there in December. December would be a wonderful time to be in Israel. So we have a lot to talk about today. And unfortunately, I think quite a bit of what we talk about today is going to have to be about the Democrats' impeachment proceeding that is going on in the House of Representatives. And I got to tell you, I have followed what has happened in that fake proceeding so far about as little as anyone in the United States. Now, as a radio host, I probably shouldn't admit that, but it's true. I haven't watched a single minute of the Adam Schiff show. I've caught a few clips on the internet. I've caught up with a few transcripts and so on, but I haven't watched any of it. Live on television, and I haven't spent my evenings poring over transcripts and figuring out things to write about that day's events in the Schiff show in the House Intelligence Committee on Powerline. And the reason is that Donald Trump crossed up the Democrats way back in the beginning of this whole fiasco when. Like the day after, I mean, it was like the day after the whole Mueller report effort fell apart, collapsed ignominiously, and it was obvious that the Russia collusion hoax was not going to be the Democrats' meal ticket when it comes to evicting Donald Trump from office. I think it was the next day they started talking about Ukraine, and they obviously had this in the works for a while. They were teeing it up, had it ready to go just in case. And very early on, within I think a couple of days after the Democrats started talking about this Ukraine situation, we'll talk later on in the show about what exactly the situation is, but that something having to do with Ukraine might be grounds for impeachment. And it all had to do, the Democrats said, with this famous telephone conversation that took place in July between President Trump and President Zelensky of Ukraine. And Donald Trump really fooled the Democrats, I think, by doing something they didn't expect, and that is releasing the transcript of the conversation. And so the same day that President Trump declassified the transcript, made it public, put it out there for all to see, I read the transcript, and it was obvious to me that not only had Trump not committed an impeachable offense in this conversation, I don't know, if you read the transcript, I think it probably took about 8 minutes on the telephone, something like that. But reading the transcript, it was immediately obvious to me that not only had Trump not committed any impeachable offense in his conversation with President Zelensky, in my view, he hadn't even done anything wrong. When Trump says it is a perfect telephone conversation, perfect might be putting it a little bit strongly, but in my view, there certainly is nothing wrong with it. There's nothing blameworthy about it. It is a very routine communication between two heads of state. And so from the very beginning, it seemed to me that there was nothing to this Ukraine flap, just as there was nothing to the Russia collusion fraud. And so I didn't need to spend my days day after day, and as it turned out, week after week, glued to the television set, watching people who were not participants in that July telephone conversation. A couple of them listened to it as it was going on. Most of them didn't even do that, testify about what they believed it meant or what they had heard rumors about with respect to that conversation. Having read the transcript, I didn't see the need to listen to rumors about it or to other people's interpretations of it. And so I didn't watch a single minute of the Schiff show. It's really interesting, too. You know, when you see Adam Schiff in action, he's such a weaselly guy. I mean, seriously. You wonder, couldn't the Democrats come up with somebody better than Adam Schiff to put in front of the public? Normally, it's the House Judiciary Committee that would be in charge of any impeachment inquiry. And reports out of Washington indicate that Nancy Pelosi decided to put this proceeding in the Intelligence Committee instead of the Judiciary Committee because she thought that Adam Schiff was a more telegenic personality than Gerald Nadler, who is the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. And the ranks of the House Democrats are so thin that I think she may well be right about that. She wanted to keep Congressman Gerald Nadler under wraps for as long as possible before turning the impeachment inquiry over to him. And that's why we suffered through a couple of weeks of the Adam Schiff show. But now the Democrats have announced that on Wednesday, they're not following any procedure that's ever been followed before or that has any kind of a blueprint to accompany it. But I take it that what the position the Democrats are taking is that what's happened so far has been an investigation stage, and that on Wednesday we're going to have the first real impeachment hearing in the House, and that at a later date, as yet unspecified, there are going to be some further impeachment hearings in front of the House Judiciary Committee. But we don't know yet when that is going to take place or what exactly it is going to be. What we do know is that there's going to be one day of impeachment hearing in the Judiciary Committee, and that day is going to be Wednesday. And it was in the news today that President Trump has declined to participate in Wednesday's hearing. And he declined with a letter that came from White House counsel Pat Cipollone that's dated yesterday. And it sets forth in some detail this letter to Gerald Nadler, chairman of the Judiciary Committee of the House of Representatives, sets out in some detail President Trump's very good reasons, in my view, for declining to participate in this charade. Now, Pat Cipollone is the White House counsel. He's had that position for a short time, I think just a few months. I happen to know Pat a little bit. As an adversary, I tried a case against a team of lawyers that included Pat. He was the second most senior lawyer in the group in Denver in 2010. It was a big case, the biggest case that was tried in Colorado that year. It was over about $200 million were at issue. And Pat was a member of the trial team on the other side. And I was, based on that experience, spending a month in the courtroom with him, I was glad to see that he was appointed White House counsel because, in my view, he's a good lawyer and probably more important given what's going on in Washington these days. I think he's a tough lawyer, and I think that makes him a good person to be representing President Trump against the Democrats now in the House with the Senate yet to come. And so I've got the letter in front of me. It's 5 pages long. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Don't worry. But I want to just quote some excerpts from Pat Cipollone's letter to Chairman Gerald Nadler, because they do a pretty good job of explaining why this proceeding is so farcical. He begins by saying, "Dear Chairman Nadler, I write in response to your letter of November 26, 2019, to President Trump regarding the purported, quote, impeachment inquiry, close quote, currently being conducted by Democrats." And that's right. It is a totally partisan investigation being conducted by Democrats in the House of Representatives. "As you know, this baseless and highly partisan inquiry violates all past historical precedent, basic due process rights, and fundamental fairness." And he goes on to explain numerous reasons why that's true. He also points out that you scheduled this hearing for December 4, 2019, no doubt purposely, during the time that you know the president will be out of the country attending the NATO leaders meeting in London, which, of course, is where he's going to be. And then Cipollone goes on to talk about what's going to happen on Wednesday and the fact that the Democrats have told the White House absolutely nothing about what is going to happen. What is it that they're being invited to participate in? But he says, we understand from rumors and press reports that the hearing will consist of an academic discussion by law professors. We understand this to mean that your initial hearing will include no fact witnesses at all. Apparently, the witnesses, so-called witnesses, are going to be four law professors. We are going to run to a break, and we'll have more on this pseudo-impeachment proceeding coming up for day after tomorrow after these messages. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Once again, I'm John Hinderacher from Powerline filling in for Seth. Well, he frolics in the Holy Land with Dennis Prager. I'm going to be back, too, as well as today. I'll be back tomorrow and Wednesday and Friday of this week. So I will be spending all week with you except for Thursday. And so far we've been talking about the Democrats' rather farcical, in my view, impeachment proceeding in the House of Representatives. We've talked about the fact that they have scheduled some kind of a hearing to take place day after tomorrow in front of the House Judiciary Committee. And they invited President Trump to participate in some fashion in this hearing without telling the White House what's going to happen. What is the hearing? And what rights would he have if he were to participate? And, of course, Trump himself won't participate. He's in Europe for the – or will be in Europe for the NATO leaders' meeting. And we've been talking about the fact that White House counsel Pat Cipollone sent a letter yesterday to Gerald Nadler, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, explaining why the White House does not intend to participate in Wednesday's proceeding, which rumor has it, news reports suggest, is going to consist of testimony from three or four law professors. Now, how they're going to shed light on the Ukraine situation, I can't explain. So Pat Cipollone's letter, the White House counsel's letter, goes on in some detail, and I won't go through it all now, but it goes on in some detail explaining why it is that the proceeding that's being followed by the House Democrats now is completely different and completely inconsistent with past impeachment proceedings. They simply are affording the president no meaningful due process. And one thing that he does that's pretty effective is he quotes Gerald Nadler talking about due process in an impeachment proceeding. So the Democrats have indicated that there's going to be some follow-up to the testimony that they'll hear on Wednesday from some law professors. We don't know yet when that's going to be, and we don't know yet what it's going to be, presumably some fact witnesses, but the Democrats are holding their cards very close to their chest. So Pat Cipollone says that the White House will consider participating in those future hearings when they find out what they are. And I just want to quote from his letter because I think it's well put. He says, we may consider participating in future Judiciary Committee proceedings if you afford the administration the ability to do so meaningfully. As you have acknowledged, the House's, and he's quoting now Gerald Nadler, the House's, quote, power of impeachment demands a rigorous level of due process. And in this context, quote, due process means the right to confront witnesses against you, to call your own witnesses, and to have the assistance of counsel. So far, all of these rights have been violated. And I think that's unquestionably true. So the White House counsel goes on. He finishes up his letter by saying that we'll respond separately with respect to this future set of hearings that you're saying you may hold. The deadline to respond, by the way, is Friday, this coming Friday, December 6th. So he says, in the meantime, in order to assess our ability to participate in future proceedings, please let us know at least the following. One, whether you intend to allow for fact witnesses to be called, including the witnesses requested by House Committee Ranking Member Nunes on November 9, 2019. Two, whether you intend to allow members of the Judiciary Committee and the President's Counsel the right to cross-examine fact witnesses. And three, whether your Republican colleagues on the Judiciary Committee will be allowed to call witnesses of their choosing. Now, it seems blindingly obvious that if the Democrats want to have any pretense of due process, any pretense of a fair proceeding, any pretense of an impeachment inquiry that even remotely resembles the ones that have taken place in the past, they have to answer those questions in the affirmative. They have to allow for the Republicans to be able to call their own witnesses. They have to be allowed. They have to allow the right of counsel for the president and the House Republicans to cross-examine fact witnesses. And if they don't do that, this is a completely bogus proceeding that I think everybody will understand simply has no stature, is not entitled to any kind of respect. So I want to talk a little more about what's in store on Wednesday and what witnesses the Democrats are planning on calling, witnesses who actually know nothing about the situation in the Ukraine, but will simply parrot the Democrats' talking points. It appears that the prime witness that the Democrats intend to call is Professor Larry Tribe of the Harvard Law School. Now, if you live long enough, you get to know a lot of people. And as it happens, not only do I know Pat Cipollone, the White House counsel, I also know Larry Tribe. Years and years, decades ago, frankly, I considered him a friend. I took one class from him in law school and knew him to some degree as a young professor outside of class. At that time, he was a smart guy, a normal guy, and I had high respect for him. But over the years, Larry Tribe has gone completely off the deep end, and he now is one of the most crazed Democratic Party partisans in the United States. If you follow him on Twitter, I mean, you know, it is just shocking the things that this guy says. And to ask the question, should we be impressed if Larry Tribe comes out in favor of impeachment? Bear in mind that before President Trump had been inaugurated on December 5th, 2016, Larry Trump wrote that impeachment, quote, should begin on Inauguration Day, close quote. So here's a law professor. If you can imagine that, a law professor, it's just embarrassing. Before Trump's even inaugurated, he was advocating for his impeachment. And then on January 28th, when Trump was in his second week in the White House, Larry Tribe tweeted that Trump, quote, must be impeached for abusing his power and shredding the Constitution more monstrously than any other president in American history, close quote. Now, I don't know. Think back to Trump's first week in the White House and ask yourself, what exactly had Trump done a week into his administration that constituted shredding the Constitution and calling for his impeachment? But that is the crazed Professor Larry Tribe, who apparently is going to be the Democrats' star witness on Wednesday. We're going to run to some messages, and we will be back with more after this. Welcome back to the Seth Liebson Show. We are joined now by John Dombrowski of Grand Canyon Planning. John, thanks for being on the program.
Hey, thanks so much, John. Nice to talk with you.
John, I noticed the market's down a little bit today. Probably doesn't mean much of anything, but you tell me and our listeners, do you think this has anything to do with the impeachment proceedings that are unraveling in Washington?
I think most people are probably bored with the impeachment hearings now. I don't really think that has much to do with it, as some economic information that we received today, a little slowdown in some of the economic indicators out there. And then also the China tariffs. You know, we're still waiting to hear. whether or not we're going to get some type of a China deal done or not. And that's certainly something I think Wall Street takes a close look at.
You know, John, let's talk about that a little bit more, because to me, President Trump is really walking a tightrope here. I admire his courage, but I hope he's right. You know, they announced that phase one agreement that needed to be documented, reduced to writing, but it covered a lot of things. I mean, it was a huge deal. They had that terrific press conference. But what now? Apparently, it hasn't been reduced to writing, hasn't been executed. Is that right?
Hasn't been executed yet. And I mean, there was a comment that the president did make that he said he would potentially even pull out of some of those, some of the things he was going to, had committed to. But it is, it's a tough negotiator. He's a tough negotiator. I think China's just probably a good match for him. They're a tough negotiator as well. China needs the U.S., the U.S. needs China. There's some political game being played back and forth. And I believe longer term that we will get reached to some type of an agreement, but I don't think we're going to get everything we want. China's not going to get everything they want, but this is certainly taking longer, I think, than everybody thought it would. And I think people would have liked to have seen this in the rearview mirror by now.
Well, I certainly would have, and I greatly admire President Trump for going to bat here for America, and trying to represent our interests and get the best deal that he can, and get some relief from some of the intellectual property abuses that we've seen over the years from the Chinese.
That's the big one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a huge one, and it's hugely important to American business, along with some of the tariff issues. But do you think that the Chinese are playing it tough because they're watching the polls and they're thinking that maybe if they hold out, they'll get to deal with the Democrat?
It's possible, but I think it seems like the president has some pretty good numbers that he could be running on this election cycle, I think, and I think that's going to bode well for him. The impeachment, I would imagine, is probably going to be in our rearview mirror, hopefully in the next few months, and it's not really going to be an issue come election time. But the president's done well, obviously, for the economy with the growth that we've seen, and that has the stock market being at all-time records. This little pullback today, I expect this to be more of a short-term pullback, and we'll probably be moving forward again here in the next week or two and see some positive returns again.
You know, it's really interesting, John. I don't recall, it's not unusual for this to happen where the party that's out of power, they'll never admit it, but they often will hope for a downturn in the economy to give them something they can run on. So we're looking here at this long expansion, this long bull market, the Trump bump that we're all familiar with. How long can it go? How big is the risk, do you think, that that we have an untimely economic downturn sometime between now and next November?
Well, I think we have a pretty good handle if you look at historical economic data. We usually see these things coming, and unless there's some unexpected event that would occur, we may see a little slowdown in the economy, which would not be unreasonable. But it's almost like if you're in Vegas and you're playing black versus red, as an example, on the roulette table. What's the odds of black and red or red coming up? It's the same every time. And it's the next roll, it's exactly the same. Whether you won 10 times in a row or you've won, once, the percentage of hitting it again is the same. Flipping a coin, it's the same every time you start fresh. And it's the same with the stock market. I don't think we could look at the length of time of this bull run as we have to look at what the economic indicators are telling us. And they're still telling us we have a reasonably good economy right now.
John, that is music to my ears. And speaking of music, I'm hearing it in my earphones. So we're going to say goodbye for today, and thank you very much. We'll be back,
John,
after these
messages.
John,
thank you so much. Securities and Advisory Services offered through Client One Securities, LLC, a member of FINRA SIPC, and an investment advisor, Grand Canyon Planning Associates, LLC, and Client One Securities, LLC, are not affiliated.
Welcome back to the show. I'm from Powerline, filling in for Seth today, and I will be guest hosting tomorrow and Wednesday as well as Friday of this week. Sometimes when they play bumper music that I like, it's tempting to just sit there for a couple of minutes and listen to the bumper music. That, of course, was Johnny Cash. And I've been a guest on this show a number of times. And one time, Seth and I started talking about country music. We're both country music fans. And Seth proposed that one of these days I should come on for like an hour on this show and we should just talk about country music. Unfortunately, we haven't yet made that happen, but I'm gonna hold Seth to it when he gets back from the Holy Land. So, on with the show. So far today, we have been talking about the Democrats' absurdly one-sided partisan impeachment proceeding in the House of Representatives. And I want to get your thoughts on this. We haven't sent a shout-out for calls yet. I want to do that now. If you want to be heard on what the Democrats are doing to try to impeach and remove from office President Donald Trump, give us a call. This is your chance to express yourself. Our number is 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. We'd love to hear what you think. So before that last segment with John Dombrowski, we were talking about the fact that the Democrats have scheduled a day's worth of hearings in front of the House Judiciary Committee on Wednesday, day after tomorrow. And they wouldn't tell the White House what was going to happen on Wednesday, who the witnesses were going to be, what the rules were going to be, what was the deal. And so the White House counsel declined to participate, and I read a little bit of his very good letter to Congressman Gerald Nadler earlier in the program. But it's leaked out through news reports that what's going to happen on Wednesday is that the Democrats are going to call three or four law professors to testify. And these law professors, I take it, are going to testify about impeachment, the constitutional provisions, and express their opinion that President Trump has committed an impeachable offense. God only knows what it is or was. I'm still waiting to hear what on earth President Trump has done that would warrant removal from office. But it's been reported that one of the law professors who are going to testify for the Democrats on Wednesday is Professor Larry Tribe of Harvard Law School. And as I mentioned before the break, I know Professor Tribe. I took a class from him many years ago, was friends with him, actually, when we were both a lot younger. But in more recent years, he's gone completely around the bend, is one of the foremost and most virulent, over-the-top Trump haters in America. This is a guy who was advocating that Trump be impeached before he had even been sworn in. And when Trump was in his second week of his presidency, Larry Tribe tweeted that it was mandatory that he be removed from office, impeached, and removed from office because he was shredding the Constitution to a degree never before seen in American history. You can cast your memory back and try to remember what on earth President Trump did in his first week or two in office that would explain that kind of an irrational outburst. But this is the guy that the Democrats are going to call as an expert witness on Wednesday. And if you follow Professor Larry Tribe on Twitter, you see over and over again, he'll tweet things that are just crazed. And I could cite a lot of examples of this. I'm only going to give you one. This is from January of this year, January 26, 2019. And what happened is that he fell for a hoax site that is not, in fact, Mitch McConnell's tweet handle. But this is what Larry Tribe wrote in January, at Sen Madge Leader, comma, after enabling the stupid and cruel Trump shutdown, is now trying to shut down House Intel Committee under Representative Adam Schiff by refusing to appoint any Republicans at all to the committee. He got away with shutting down the Garland nomination, and then in all capital letters, we can't let him do it again. Now, several things wrong with this. Number one, as a number of people immediately pointed out, that is not Mitch McConnell's Twitter account that Larry Tribe was commenting on. McConnell had said no such thing. But number two, Mitch McConnell is the Senate majority leader. He has nothing to do with the appointment of members to the House Intelligence Committee. That is done by the Speaker of the House or the ranking member, the minority leader in the House. Nobody in the Senate, Mitch McConnell or anybody else, has anything to do with making appointments to House committees. And how a guy who has been a law professor now for 40-some years could possibly get that wrong, could be so confused, so caught up in his hatred for President Trump that he would make that kind of a fundamental mistake, confusing the United States Senate with the U.S. House of Representatives, is just unfathomable. It's absolutely unfathomable. And yet this guy, who is so far gone in Trump derangement syndrome that this is the kind of thing that he puts out there publicly, this is the guy that the Democrats are going to call as an expert witness to explain why the president should be impeached. Let's go to Susan in Phoenix on line one. Susan, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Fire away.
Well, my question is, we were wondering what you thought of the latest polls that have been coming out that say over 50% of the public, the population in the U.S. wants to impeach Trump.
I haven't seen that poll, Susan. I've seen a lot of polls. I haven't seen one that says over 50% wants to impeach Trump or wants to remove him from office. What I have seen, Susan, and I think this, again, is a function of how crazed the Democrats are, what I have seen is that the number of people, the percentage of people who would like to see Trump impeached is almost the same as the number of people who disapprove of his job performance. It's amazing to me. Now, I had all kinds of bad things to say about Barack Obama's job performance, which I thought was terrible. But, you know, I didn't pretend that the fact that I didn't agree with him was an impeachable offense. And yet, America's Democrats have gone so nuts that most of them, large majority, are apparently falling in line behind the idea that Trump should be thrown out of office for essentially nothing. We will be back with more in your calls at 602-508-0960 after these messages. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson program. We've been talking so far today about the impeachment drama that is playing out in Washington, D.C. If you want to weigh in, give us a call. 602-508-0960 is the number to call. And one of the things that maybe we'll find out on Wednesday, maybe not, is what exactly is the impeachable offense that President Trump ostensibly committed? I'm still waiting to understand what this is all about. You know, the Constitution has provisions on impeachment that are very general, and they apply not only to the president but to other executive branch officials. And what the Constitution says is that the president can be impeached for high crimes or misdemeanors. And you have to interpret, you know, what that means. Misdemeanors obviously doesn't mean speeding, something that in today's law would be a rather minor offense. I think when you look at that phrase, high crimes or misdemeanors, it conveys two concepts. One is that it's got to be something really serious, a high crime. And two is that there's got to be some aspect of illegality to it, that obviously, we're not impeaching people simply because we disagree with them, and we've got a majority in the House of Representatives. You know, that was true for a big chunk of the Obama administration, but House Republicans didn't say, great, we have a majority, let's impeach Obama. That's not what the Constitution contemplates. And I think when you look at that phrase, high crimes and misdemeanors, you got to be talking about something that is very, very serious. And you probably want to be talking about something that is a clear violation of law. And the Democrats don't have anything that's even in the stadium with that kind of a standard, in my opinion. What they're trying to impeach President Trump for is supposedly withholding military aid from Ukraine for a matter of some weeks in order to put pressure on them to commence an investigation into Obama-Biden administration corruption in Ukraine. Well, first of all, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, corruption in the Obama-Biden administration ought to be investigated, and it seems very clear that there was corruption, i.e. the Biden family taking a $3 million bribe. But the fact is, the Ukrainians didn't commence the investigation, and they got the military aid which Obama never gave them over a period of years. So why are we even talking about this? I find the whole thing very, very hard to understand. We are going to a break and will return with more, including your calls at 602-508-0960.